I've already said to several of you, and I'm confessing it publicly right now in view of our lesson title today, that for the last several years as we've set up for VBS and it's been my turn to preach on Sunday morning, I have had an almost overwhelming temptation to pop up as a puppet behind the puppet stage to begin my lesson. However, knowing that what little dignity I have is hanging by a thread, so far I've managed to restrain myself. I am so much looking forward to this week. I think I would be looking forward to it even more if we didn't have to work so much during it, because there's a lot that still has to be done, and many of us are tired already from the preparations that we've made. But so thankful for all of you who have made a contribution to what will be starting this evening, and for the opportunity that we have to talk to hundreds of kids, some of them from other congregations in the area, some of them, this is the only taste of Christianity that they may get all year long. I want us to think about that and to be encouraged that what we are going to be doing this week has the opportunity to make a significant impact. And I'm very thankful to all of you who've been a part of that and for the chance all of us have to do that. But this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about fellowship in a way that may be either uncomfortable for some of us or perhaps just unfamiliar to many of us. And that is developing relationships within which we can truly be authentic and transparent. I've been a Christian since I was very young, and I've been in church all my life. And I have observed, as many of you have, that sometimes the relationships that we have are, to be honest, rather superficial. We are in each other's lives all right, in that we see each other every week. Sometimes the people that we're here with on Sundays and Wednesday evenings are also our friends, and so we're involved in their lives a bit more, and that's a good thing. But I also know, and I guess I've become more acutely aware of that over the last couple of years, of the fact that though we know one another and we see each other regularly and may even be with each other relatively frequently, that we're functioning in terms of our relationship on a level where we keep the deepest parts of our lives to ourselves. And we don't share those things. And that may be because the hurt that we experience, we believe to be something that would be embarrassing if we shared it. It may be that we are afraid that people will think less of us if they know us better. I see a lot of heads nodding right now that suggest I'm maybe not the only person who's thought about that. Let me go up here and get my remote control because I forgot it. Thank you, dear. And so I want to start off this morning with a question. Who can you tell your deepest secrets to? Who can you tell your deepest secrets to? Now, here's the good news. There is someone who already knows and who has invited us to bring all of our concerns and cares to Him. And He will not think less of us because He made us and because He loved us and because we are of such great value to Him that He has given His Son in exchange for our sins so that we need not bear the consequences for eternity of the weakness that we have clearly displayed before Him. That's good. And I need that, and you do too. And I take advantage of it, and I'm confident that you do too. But can I suggest to you that God does not want Himself to be the only one who stands to provide a place for us to talk about our concerns? There's another question, I think, then, that we need to ask. And that question is, why does it matter? There are some of you in this room who are older even than me, if you can imagine that, young people, who have never shared your spiritual vulnerability with another human being ever. Ever. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm getting by just fine. Now, I'll not argue with that one way or the other. You may be getting by just fine. You know, you may be a person with such strong character and such deep commitment to the Lord that just you and He are working together to manage your challenges, and maybe that's what you're going to continue doing. I'm talking to you, but I'm especially talking to the rest of us who recognize that despite the fact that we believe God is listening and that He attends to our needs, that we could use somebody else. Somebody else who tunes in and cares. And I want you to think about why this matters. And I want to start with this text. And that's not the right... this is the text we're going to be talking about today. James says that we are connected to one another. Is anyone among you suffering, James asks? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he should call for the elders of the church, and they're to pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, with that in mind, I would suggest to you that God never intended that we should handle the weights that we have to carry alone. It was not His intention. Some of us may need others around us in an obvious way more than others. But God never intended for our faith and all of the implications of that simply to be a personal and private matter. There are religious groups who describe their faith in such a way that it's a very personal, private thing. Even their gatherings are a time of self-reflection and quiet devotion. And there is a place for self-reflection and quiet devotion. But God has connected to us. He has made for us not only a relationship between Himself and ourselves, but in so doing, He has also connected us to each other. And it is these horizontal relationships that I think James here wants to give a special call to. We simply cannot or are not supposed to do this alone. And simply the acknowledgement of that, I think, is a good first step, isn't it? Because there are an awful lot of us in this room right here who've tried that, and we stink at it. This whole idea of doing it all by ourselves has not worked for us. We find ourselves burdened to the point of breaking with things that we were never intended to deal with all alone. I cannot pick up 1,000 pounds. My body is not made to pick up 1,000 pounds. And if I over and over and over again try to attempt picking up 1,000 pounds, I will only reinforce the fact that I can't do it. But give me 10 other people to help me, we can pick up 1,000 pounds. And the doing of it will seem like work. 1,000 pounds is still heavy. But it will not seem so overwhelmingly impossible as it seems when I try to do it alone. This is not a surprise. It's not unnatural for me to need help with things that are too big for me to manage by myself. And simply acknowledging that God never intended for us to deal with this life with all the overwhelming challenges that it faces by ourselves, simply noting that is healthy and good. And perhaps draws us one step closer to being there for each other and accepting one another as we should. Now, let me just take a moment to speak to people like me. I'm a fixer. I like doing things for myself. There is bread within me as there is within many of you in this room, perhaps as much by American culture of 200 years ago as by Scripture. This desire that we ought to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that we ought to man up and take responsibility for our actions, and I'm in favor of all that. But along with that sometimes comes this idea that I'm supposed to take care of everything that I need. And it's just not biblical. And truth is, it does not bear up in real world situations. This world, if we take it and try to manage it by ourselves, can break us. And there are people sitting in this room right now who knows what that feels like. Who know what it feels like to be broken, to be so overwhelmingly burdened that you're just laying flat on the ground right now, and most days it takes all you can do to scrape yourself up off the ground and do life. It does not have to be like that. It does not have to be like that. God intended for us not to do this alone, but to do it together. I want to call to your attention, perhaps the, in my mind at least this works for me, the best reminder of that from the life of Jesus. Now, this is a terrible time in Jesus' life, at least from his human point of view. I mean, it's a time that he anticipates triumph very shortly as he accomplishes his mission. But right now, Jesus, on the eve of his incarceration and ultimately his crucifixion, needs to talk to God, acknowledging that God and God alone ultimately could provide the power that he needs to deal with this. But he did not do this alone, did he? He called some of his closest disciples and he said, "Come with me." And he went out into a quiet place and he said to God in their hearing, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Remain here and watch with me. I don't want to be alone. I don't even want to just be with my Father, though I want to be with my Father. I don't want to just be with my Father. I want you to stand with me. I want you to watch. I want you to share in this tough moment with me. I want your encouragement and support." And I don't know what else to say, guys, but to say, if our Lord Jesus Christ, the strongest human being who ever lived, craved the love, support, and encouragement of his closest friends when he was dealing with this spiritual and physical reality, what in the world do we think we're doing if we think we don't need that? I simply cannot imagine that. So, who do we turn to? I hope right now that you are experiencing one of those great times in your lives. I hope that that's what life is like for you. You frequently hear me from this pulpit say, "I got a great life," and I do. But I don't want to misrepresent that. I got a great life that is filled with some significant challenges. It's great because God's in it. It's great because you're in it. And it's great because as I compare the things that I'm dealing with, some of the things that other people are dealing with, I have to acknowledge that I've got it good. But sometimes it's not so good. Some moments are hard. I hope right now that you're not experiencing any of those hard times. But you know, when we stop to talk about prayer requests, and I know we're just scratching the surface of all the needs that are out there, we become acutely aware of the fact that many, many of our families are dealing with some difficult challenges. Doug and I have been preaching through some things here lately, especially when we got to the family. And now that we're dealing with fellowship, I don't know what Doug is hearing, but I'm hearing an awful lot of you come and say, "Listen, you're talking about my life." Yeah, I'm talking about my life too, and I'm talking about yours because this is what humanity is like. We're dealing with some difficult things. So we need somebody that we can turn to. And this text here in James chapter 5, I think tells us at least a start on who we ought to turn to. And first of all, it is a reminder of how important prayer is. You know, it's an interesting and tragic thing, and I think Satan is all over this. That during the times that we struggle the most, we are often least likely to have a steady and regular life of prayer. Now, it's not that we don't pray at all, because when things finally get so bad we just know it's beyond us, then we are driven to our knees, and that's good. I think we need to be driven to our knees, but that's not really where it ought to be starting. We ought not have to be desperate in order to pray. Notice here, as this section that we are talking about, it begins, "Is anyone among you suffering?" The text does not say, if any among you are at your wit's end, if any of you have just gone so far you don't know what to do, if any of you are desperate, if any of you are contemplating some terrible action, pray. It just says if you're suffering. I don't know what suffering means to you, but there are varying degrees of suffering. T- times when things are just not going as you would like for them to go. Times when you're hurt, despondent. Times when you've been betrayed. Times when the love that might normally be a part of your life situation seems cold and disjointed. We need to go to God with our concerns. We need to share them with Him. I'm so grateful. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 that even at times when we don't know what to say, that the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness and somehow takes the thoughts that I don't even know how to fully capture and delivers that to God as a prayer from me in request for His help. I know what that feels like, and I'm sure you do too. To know that, I don't even know how to tell You what I want. I wish I had a nickel for every time I've said those words in a prayer. I don't even know how to tell You what I want, but I know I do not like things like they are right now. And I know You need to be in this. And I'm just going to trust You as best I can right this minute to deliver the good that I need according to the riches of Your grace and mercy. Have you prayed a prayer like that? My guess is that most of us in this room have. We need to turn to God at those times when we're hurting. But we need to be able to turn to our brothers and sisters as well. It's hard for those of us who are proud to do. And I just admit that to you. I've struggled with my pride. I wanted to, this image that you all get to see of the guy who shows up, Bible in hand, ready to deal with life, is not always the guy that I am. And maybe not you either. But it's hard to admit that I need help. That things are not going well. That my life is a mess sometimes. And it's, by the way, it's a whole lot easier for me to admit that to you in a kind of a generic sort of way right here from the front of the auditorium than it is for me to come to you with a specific situation and say, this is broken and I'm not sure what to do. Don't take my admission of need this morning to be an act of courage. That's easy. I don't know a person in this room who would not be able to say, you know, I'm a sinner in need of the grace of God and sometimes I struggle. That's an easy way. That's a very generic sort of way to talk about it. But to actually come to another person and say, I'm hurting so bad right now, I don't know how to manage. I'm not sure about tomorrow. I'm not sure what's going to happen. To be able to have those kinds of conversations requires what the title of the lesson points out. It requires closeness. It requires for me to be in a substantial enough relationship with another person to be truly open and honest, warts and all. And I know of some of you for whom that appears to be easier than it is for me. That may not be true and it may not be fair. It may not be that easy. Maybe you're just more courageous than I am. Maybe you are more aware of how important that is than I have been willing to be. But God put us together for a reason. And it's because, among other things, He knows how difficult things can be. And Jesus has modeled this for us by saying, sometimes it's just so hard, I cannot bear it alone. And we need to open ourselves up to that. If I could encourage us to do one thing in response to this lesson, and don't get excited, I'm not done. If I could encourage us to do one thing in response to this lesson, it would be to develop the courage to go to another person and say, I'm hurting. I know You love me. And I am emboldened by my awareness of that reality to tell You some things that I've been keeping to myself. Would you do that this week? The text that we started with today from James chapter 5 urges us to come to our church leaders. Now, I have an advantage that you guys don't have, many of you. Doug does, a few others of you perhaps. I sit in on the elders' meetings from time to time. Doug and I go in there about once a month to talk about things. They always want to know if there's anything that we want them to know about. And then they've got some things that they want to say to us from time to time. But they permit us, under most occasions, just to stay in for the rest of the meeting, and it's that part of the meeting that I like the best. Now, certainly, there are some nuts and bolts that get dealt with during that period of time, but I hear them talking about you and the concerns that you have that you have shared with them. I hear them praying for those things. I know that they're thinking about that, about these kinds of things often. That is such a blessing to us as a body of people. And it only works, generally speaking, when we as a body of people share our concerns with our elders. I know how they feel about that. I know they are thoughtful about their approach to those things. I know they are confidential and quiet about it, but I know that they carry those things out of that meeting and think about them and pray about them through the week. I know that they visit and check in with people who have shared their concerns, helping to carry that load. James says, when you're experiencing difficulties like that, in this case he gives a specific example of people who are sick, he said, go to the elders about that. Share that with them. We need to have a relationship with God wherein we can talk to Him, and we do that regularly, not just at the catastrophic moments where we find ourselves acutely aware of the fact that now we're beyond what we can do for ourselves, but at other times as well. We need to talk with our brothers and sisters, and we need to share our concerns with the leaders of this church. I tell you what, I'll speak for the elders here because I know I've heard them say it to other people. Nearly every Sunday, they won't do it today because we've commandeered their room today. They'd have to sit around on the floor. But nearly every Sunday afternoon, from 3:30 to 5, they're in that room down there, and a knock on the door is all that it takes. It's been done before, hasn't it, guys? I hope it will be again. Just walk in. Give one of them a call. Drop by their house. We need to turn to people to help us deal with the challenges that we face. And God has put us in fellowship with people to whom we can turn. But what do I say? What does that sound like, we might ask? I can't even imagine with the private things that I'm dealing with that I would go and have a conversation like that. What does that sound like? You see, we have turned confession, openness, sharing of ourselves, we've turned that into an event. It happens, you know, at times like we're going to have in just a few minutes when we extend the invitation and we say, if you've got a need, you come. But we don't expect, you know, you don't go to the doctor when you got a hangnail usually. And you don't come up before the congregation if the thing that you're dealing with is maybe smaller or more private, more intimate. You don't do that. And so, unfortunately, we've relegated confession and sharing and openness to an almost paradoxical moment wherein it's no longer private at all. Now, as we'll argue in just a few minutes, there is a time for that. But most of us are not going to do it because most of us don't have a need that's going to be that public. So how do we handle that? What do we say? Well, the answer is we don't do anything frequently. If we don't need to respond to the invitation publicly, we don't come and share our lives and acknowledge our needs at all. So what could I say if I were going to do that? Well, obviously, one of the things that we could say is, I've sinned. Nobody knows but me and God. But I need some help. I don't want to do it again. I'm struggling with feeling forgiven. We are sometimes our own harshest critics. We pray to God and we ask for His forgiveness and we try to move on, yet we feel the continuing burden of that guilt. We cannot unload it. Can I suggest that you talk to somebody about that? Even if you don't need to go before the whole congregation because the thing that you've been dealing with is relatively private, talk to somebody else and tell them, I've sinned. I'm having a hard time feeling forgiven. Talk to me. I just need to share it with somebody else. I need to acknowledge its reality, and I need somebody else to help me pick up that load. You might say, I'm just weak. You know, the things I'm trying to deal with right now are just too heavy for me, and I'm not up to the task. I'm just going to admit it. I'm not doing a very good job. I've said some things that I shouldn't have said. I've handled some things in ways I shouldn't have tried to handle them. I've become distant from God at the very time that I've needed Him the most. Just talk to somebody. Pick somebody out, somebody that you're willing to take a chance. Because I understand there's a risk involved here. Anytime you share yourself with another person, there's a risk that they may not acknowledge you with a statement of trust. But I promise you, that will not happen with the people in this room. Our fear of what might happen overwhelms us and disconnects us with Satan's help. That rascal. It disconnects us from the very source of support that we have so readily available to us. Just tell somebody that you're weak. Give them an example. Don't be surprised, by the way, if they turn right around and say, you know, me too. I get it. And share something with you. They've been wanting to share it with somebody, but they haven't done it. And your approach to them about your needs may well give them an opportunity to share their own. Isn't it neat the way God has made us so much alike, so needful of one another? I'm hurting. Boy, there's almost all of us have moments in our lives when that's such a powerfully true statement. I'm just hurting. I don't need anything from you except just to hear me say that, to acknowledge that the things that I'm hurting about are worth hurting about, that these things are important, and that you care about my feelings. And I knew you would. So I'm just telling you, I'm sure hurting. That doesn't require a trip to the front of the auditorium to say. I'm confused. I'm experiencing doubt. I wonder, God's supposedly out there somewhere, yet where has he been when these things have been going on? I'm not sure about some things. I've got questions about some doctrinal sorts of things or points of faith. I'm hearing a lot of voices out there and make me question. Can we talk? The cumulative weight of the stuff in my life that stinks has just gotten too much for me to bear. Maybe it's not just one thing. You see, I think most of us are pretty good at finding solutions when our problems come at us one at a time. It's kind of like in the movies. If you ever watch the hero in a movie, and when Batman is fighting off the bad guys, they are so considerate, aren't they? They come at him one at a time so he can slug them. The things that come at me are not always so polite. They come at me all at once sometimes. Does that happen to you? And when that happens, things that I might have been able to deal with if they'd been nice enough to come at me one at a time become together something that is overwhelming. And I cannot manage it on my own. So, I come to you and I say, it's just too much. It's just too much. I don't know what to do. These are examples. I don't know how the conversation that you will have will sound. Don't even know what it might need to sound like for you. But what I am absolutely convinced of is that when we say to God and we say to others, it is as God says it is. I've sinned and that's wrong. That's what God told me. I've done some things to hurt myself or others. God told me it was going to happen. If I did those kinds of things. I am not strong enough to handle all my difficulties. God, you're right. When we start acting like that, we tap into a source of power, divine power, and even the power of fellowship in a way that perhaps up to that point we have withheld from ourselves to our own loss. Can I suggest that confession, whether it's done publicly or whether it's done in the privacy of our own bedrooms at night as we pour out our hearts to God, or when it's done in the context of a relationship with a brother or sister who understands, that's a way of saying, God, you're right. The one who made me knows what I need. And I want to invite him and you, depending on the circumstance, to share in my life. We can grow if we'll do that. Fellowship is more than just meeting together regularly, publicly. It's more than food, though we certainly like that part of it. It's about developing relationships within which we can really be ourselves, warts and all, and benefit from the blessing that God has poured into a family that we are now a part of. We're going to extend the invitation now. It's possible there's somebody sitting in this room who's not had relationships like that. Maybe you've just bounced around religiously and you've heard some things about the teachings of God, but you've never really experienced life in His family. The entry point to being an adopted child of God and siblings with all the rest of us who need Him so desperately is statements of faith. I believe God is who He said He was, and He did what He said He did, and He'll do what He said He's going to do through Jesus Christ. It's a willingness, despite our weaknesses and our awareness of the fact that we're not going to be able to make this stick in every way, a willingness to turn around, taking our life in a new direction. That's repentance. It's a willingness to say, God, You're right about everything that You've said, and I will name the name of Christ as my only hope. And it's about allowing Him to take this water that's in this baptistry to my left here and to use that to wash all the sin away from your life as you pledge your commitment to Him. If you need to do that, I hope you will today. I believe God wants that. Maybe you have some other need. Maybe the people of God can gather around and try to be a part of helping to meet it, whether it's confession of sin or acknowledgement of your need for help. If you have any need at all and it's a public kind of thing, hope you'll do that today. If it's a private thing, talk to somebody. Don't carry that burden yourself. But if you have a public need, would you make that known by coming as we stand and sing together?